Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is with us because it's Friday. Shayna, I'm told baseball season is over, so you now have 100% attention to hockey, so that's good.
And oh my God, are we throwing fireballs this early? At least my baseball season went this long.
Well, sure.
Yikes.
Yes. Anyway, hi. It's really nice to see you. Marty and producer Jeff are already putting the schedule out there leading up to Thanksgiving and what the Sabres can do in this run of games based on how they're playing. I am reluctant to do stuff like that because I'm living in a day-to-day environment. However, I'm also talking out of both sides of my mouth because earlier today I asked you, hypothetically, like if the scoring doesn't continue for the Sabres, who could you envision them pursuing? Something that's amiss around the league with a scoring type player. Maybe it's someone that makes a fair amount of money, but Buffalo would have the room to bring in. Again, this is not a pressing matter. This is a be ready for the future in case scenario. Any names hit your stat sheet?
Yeah, so the name that was on my mind all summer did not get moved. It was Nikolaj Ehlers. And I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, even though he's a pending UFA, even though I think he would be so good in Buffalo. So I digress. I looked at it two ways. First of all, was pending UFAs on teams who are not going to be in the playoffs. That's where a Ryan Donato comes to mind because I think he adds a little forward versatility. He's a complimentary forward. That's fine. A guy like Gus Nyquist, I think, is a very good complimentary forward as well. He can play with top players and elevate them, and he can do all the dirty work to make plays click. Even someone like Anthony Mantha is interesting to me because I think he's been an up and down player, but he adds that hard skill that this lineup could use. But maybe the most interesting name to me was Joel Farabee because the Flyers are terrible. They're bad. There is not much to write home about, but they know they're going to be bad, right? They are doing this for the long haul.
They won last night. They're fine.
Everything's great and wonderful.
They didn't even need Michkov.
Who knew, right? Just keep Farabee in the lineup and bench Michkov. That's going to be it. No, but like, honestly, you look at them and they go, you know, they're in this for the long haul. They're going to make the tough decisions. Trading Sean Walker was probably the toughest decision of all last year because they probably would have made the playoffs if they kept him. But they're like, no, we know what we're doing. Farabee is the kind of player you would think they'd want to keep because he's young and he's going to be good in the long term. But I just wonder if they make a big move but could shake something up. Mm-hmm. Maybe that could make sense as like a change of scenery trade.
Interesting. Thank you.
Okay, but the question was prefaced by if this offense with the Sabres doesn't keep up, right? They make a move. Do you see this offense staying where they're at right now? I told you at the start of the season, top five offense in the league, right? And we all said, if that happens, it's going to be fantastic here for the
Marty,
Sabres.
We did a breathalyzer after the show that day. We have the results of that. That was a one-off for you.
I would love to get those results, and I'm contesting those results, by the way.
As you should.
But the Cousins line with Quinn and Benson looked better last night. Thompson scored again. You got, you know, Greenway scoring with Zucker. The Krebs line is Lafferty finally scores, but they have a role. Do you see now the way that the lines are with the Sabres being the best look that they've had in a while and it's sustainable moving forward?
No. Okay. There's two ways to look at this. My issue is that second line. Cousins and Quinn have underwhelmed me together. I know, and we know, they can be a lot better together, right? They have a history together. You look at what they did 2 years ago, and you go, that was the kid line. That slap, that was going to be the future of the Sabres. And obviously, injuries came into play last year, and Cousins took a step back. But to open this season together, you're going, okay, the Sabres have that secondary support that they've been missing last year. Here it is. They're healthy. They're in the lineup together. And they did not look good together until last night. So I think there's a chance that they just found that old chemistry, right? And they should get some more time together to cook and see how things go and if they can keep this up. Because if they can, that's a great answer. But I have a lot of question marks based on that first month of play because they were that bad together. And I think it was dragging down the entire lineup. What's your solution? Maybe you break up other combinations that work and you ask Paterka to be the driver of that second line because I think he's the spark that they've been missing. I really do like him with Tage Thompson. I think they play great together, but I think the two of them can be separated to drive their own lines and get the top six going as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, change will not be imminent here unless something catastrophic befalls them in the next couple of games because they certainly have found a rhythm the last two games. Do you think any... potential buyers, suitors are having remorse for not acting upon a potentially available Marty Natchez this past summer.
Oh, that's where I was going to go too. And we didn't even talk about that.
Has 18 points during what is now the longest active point streak in the NHL, an 8-gamer after Makar and MacKinnon got whitewashed in Winnipeg last night.
It's the blonde hair. You know what? I'm very big on this. Don't be sad, go dye your hair is like my thing. So don't be sad you didn't get traded or that your last season wasn't good. Just dye your hair. I've seen other players do it. I remember Mika Zibanejad came in with the blonde hair and he came in and had a sick season. Like, this is the trick and more players need to be doing it. It doesn't have to be blonde, but blonde is not a bad move because you have a nice base that you can keep going. Say you're not good as a blonde, you could dye it green right there. So that is the magic of it. But no, I think other teams probably have regrets, but I think we see the genius of Eric Tolsky not jumping, right? Everybody looked at the Canes and went, but he didn't re-sign Gensel. I'm sure they wanted to. It didn't work out. That happens. But he didn't, you know, move Natchez. He was smart not to. It probably would have been a mistake for them to move Natchez. That we all knew it the whole time. That's why there were so many teams that should have been interested in him. He's a young player who has potential now and in the long term. You just have to get him back on track. He's back on track. The underlying numbers could still be better, especially on a team like Carolina, but the results are there. So there's something to build on. And he's not just doing it playing with their best players, right? Like, he looks really, really, really good on the second line. And you're allowed to split up and put someone like Roslovic on that top line, who's oddly thriving because you have that balance.
This is wild.
Yeah. Joe Burrow has the frosted tips too, and he's having a pretty good year. Maybe the rest of the Cincinnati Bengals need to go blonde to follow up with Joe Burrow. So, but I've seen a lot of, even in the NBA, I've seen a lot of blonde weaved into like the braids and all of that. So it's something, Shayna, you're on right now. The blonde may be making a comeback. You talked about Carolina though. I mean, the Rangers, we saw them last night. They've hit a little bit of a rough patch. And I think Shesterkin has saved a lot of what the Rangers defensive.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Deficiencies have been this year. New Jersey's hot or cold. Sheldon Keefe was not happy about last night's game, despite the fact they beat Montreal, but did not like their game. Washington is surprising, but is Carolina the better team in the Metropolitan Division?
Yeah, I would say so. I think Carolina is the most complete team, and we're seeing the power of their system, right? We all had questions. How would it look? We know that it works because they have Sebastian Aho as that like anchor up front and Jacob Slavin on the back end. But how would it look when you lose your entire second pair? How does it look when you lose Brett Pesce, who's been a part of the system from, what, day one there, essentially? So all of that roster turnover has worked out for them. Someone like Sean Walker is thriving there. So is Shane Gostisbehere. Pair, I think Allison Lucan the other day was asking, like, what should they be called? I think we settled on Ghost Walker. And they're totally crushing it. It's cute, right? They're a very deep team. Yeah. The one flaw I would say is their goaltending. I want to see more from Kochekov. Like, this is your opportunity. Take it. But they look very complete. Well, you look at the Rangers and you go, you had something going and then you mismatched the defense for no reason. Everything came apart. And now it kind of came to a head. Like, Shesterkin can't save you every night. The Devils can't reliably get a save. Still, somehow, they have issues. They look a lot better in front of the net, but it's just not going. And the Capitals, very good 5-on-5 team. I'm working on a story on them now, and I'm really like digging into just how good they are. They're real. It's legit. But do I think that they're going to be a top three team in the division? Three, probably more likely a wild card, to be honest. So the Canes are that perennial contender for good reason.
The Canes are being led in goal scoring right now by Jack Roslovic. He has 9 goals already. He is there on a 1-year deal for $2.8 million. If you don't know his career numbers or path, you probably, like, there are a lot of people who have been fans of Roslovic for a long time, but it's never really materialized. This could end up being a career year for him. He had, this is crazy, this always stuck with me, I don't know why, he had one bigger offensive year where he topped 20 goals. Did you know that he scored 10 times in the final 10 games of garbage time in that year for Columbus? 10 goals in 10 games to get over the 20 plateau. And I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. And then sure enough, he went back to basically the 11 goal scorer that he is. So I am blown away by this Roslovic start. And one other footnote with the Devils, you mentioned they've won 4 of 5. Simone Nemitz, though, has been sent down. And this is interesting, Marty, because we watched them literally from game one of the season. And the story in game one was Jonathan Kovacevic. And he basically stole that position from Nemitz and from others who were vying for it.
Seamus Casey. Casey got sent down.
So it's pretty impressive for the Devils and their defense corps to still have that kind of depth. So we'll see. Okay, I've emptied the tank, Marty. Run with it.
Okay. I was just thinking of something and you made me... last night. No, last night, Shayna. Macklin Celebrini scored a goal on Marc-Andre Fleury. Do you know how many years separate the two of them?
Oh, my God.
There's 22 years separation between Celebrini and Marc-Andre Fleury. And obviously, Celebrini played a game, got hurt, but now he's been back, scored a couple of goals. What are we seeing from the number one overall pick this summer in Macklin Celebrini that tells us, you know what, he's going to be a really, really fun player to watch?
I love not just that he's super skilled, right? Like, that's what we all knew about him. He's skilled. He has a ton of talent. He's going to score eye-catching goals. I love how ballsy he is. Like, day one, right? You look at that game against the Blues, and it was technically his first goal. I mean, it looked like it was trying to be a pass, but it was the spinorama attempt. You're doing that in an NHL game on day one. You're doing it. Even the no-look goal last night, I feel like he knows he's good, and he isn't afraid to show it. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes it all the more exciting because in a sport as lame as hockey, sometimes we hear unwritten rules where it's like, you can't do this and you're not allowed to have fun and you should know the ropes before you go do things. And I like that he doesn't abide by that. You shouldn't. And on a team like the Sharks, the defense is going to be terrible. They're not going to be good this year. But if he can be that spark and show, hey, there's a future here, that's exciting. And I think he's doing it already. And then you look at how the team was performing without him in the lineup, surprising offense from guys like Granlund and Toffoli and everyone and more. And you're like, wait, now that he's back in the mix, it just takes everything up a notch. Guys like Zetterlund, you're seeing the potential with as well. So it just, if they can have fun and stay in games and just add a little bit of excitement to be a bit of a disruptor, it's a good thing. And I think he's going to be a key part of it.
Yeah, they had a nice little run winning 4 of 5 and now challenged again. But losing to Minnesota is commonplace in the NHL. The Wild are excellent. 9-2-2, winners of 4 of 5. Matt Boldy leads the NHL in game winners with 4 already this year. They have an awful lot clicking. But it's always more fun to talk about teams that aren't doing well. So very quickly to wrap up this segment, what is going to happen in Seattle, where they've lost 4 in a row and 7 of 8, and Nashville, where they've lost 3 in a row and 5 out of 6.
I'm going to give Seattle a little more time because new coaching, it takes a minute, right? And they are not your standardly built team because they are not top heavy. You want to see the guys be the guy. Be the guys, right? You want to see Matty Beniers break out offensively. And you're seeing Jared McCann look good on the score sheet. And you're seeing Brandon Montour really take this team up a notch. I think he's the source of offense they need from the blue line. It would help to have Vince Dunn back. So I'm going to give them time to figure this out because I think that there's potential there. It just, they need a little bit more time to cook. The Predators, on the other hand, I am legitimately concerned about because It's not one or two games. It's not the first couple games of the season. They don't look good at 5-on-5. The new lines aren't clicking. Now you're down a 2C, right? Tommy Novak was going to be a healthy scratch. He got hurt. Colton Sissons comes in, steps up in his place. No, I'm sorry. Luke Evangelista was going to be the healthy scratch, but then Novak got hurt. Then, then Colton Sissons replaces him. Now he's hurt. Now you have Mark Jankowski playing there, which I think is fine. He can be like a spark plug in the bottom six, but you don't want him as your 2C. So they are struggling through it. The defense is struggling through it. The goaltending is doing what they can, but they're not perfect either. So they're the biggest concern. They're the ones I'm going, okay, time to start making some tactical adjustments to make this team look like a team instead of just a bunch of new additions thrown into a lineup. It just isn't working there.
No, it's a big challenge. We have to fly. Marty, we got to fly.
Yeah. So. No, I know. I know. I got to get back on the road at some point. We got to fly. Let's go.
Okay. Shayna, thank you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Back after this on Sabres Live.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.